Okay.
Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant, and I still love you. I'm looking back.
Shout even the shy singing that word you cannot say. Welcome back, my friends. This is Thanksgiving in the year of our Lord 2021. 21 going on 22. Hopefully 22 will be the end of this virus thing. Tonight, just open for anybody that's got a place to go. The number here is, 646-668-2837. You can call and join us, share a joke, a story, poetry. We'll take anything today. With me, of course, is Deborah, my little sister, my best friend. She just sits in the back, does all the heavy lifting, but tonight she's going to be out here in front. Hi, Deb.
Hello, Hatter. And I should mention that the room's full already. You have, in order of appearance, Miss Sky.
Got you.
Hello.
Hello.
Okay.
And Sweet Pea.
Hello.
Sweet potato pie.
And I was waiting for that. And right behind her is our dynamic duo, Stephen and Kay. I believe it's both. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. That's just me. Yeah. Kay's kind of getting out of sleep.
You tied her up?
Just you is just fine. And Hatters, how shameful.
I thought he's like, yeah, he's all tied up.
Hatter.
Wrong show, Hatter. And right there behind Stephen is the one and only Wayne Gent. Hello, Wayne. Welcome to the show.
How are you guys? Stephen, used to keep her down the pit.
Yeah.
Not in a pit. You guys are brutal.
Yes,
he's keeping. Okay, she better go hide in the bathtub. And right behind Mr. Gent from down under, Mr. A.P. Taylor. Hey, A.P., welcome to the show.
How are you?
I'm hanging in there. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. Good.
We're just watching football and hanging out with Hatter.
No, there's nothing wrong with that. Depends on which football team you're watching, but there's nothing wrong with that.
I kept falling asleep during the game. I saw the beginning of the first.
Really?
And then I saw the last minute of the Cowboy game.
Who won the Lions Bears?
Bears played Detroit, and the Bears won the last play of the game.
They kicked the field goal.
Wow.
There was only a 2-point differential in that game, but in all the other games, it was like crazy back and forth. They had each team had scores over 30. Dallas had overtime. It was one of them days.
Yep.
And now Buffalo's kicking New Orleans 31-6. So go figure. Anyway, there's my rant for football.
Maybe it's Buffalo's year. Sure playing like it.
But maybe we should start with that infamous question, is anybody in a hurry?
No, we're good.
Cool. Back to you, Hal.
I can't stay all night because I gotta get up in the morning and do more stuff. But I'm going to be here for a little bit, but not all night. I'm
here
for about an hour.
All right, so Thanksgiving, guys.
Sort of happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah. My Thanksgiving
Day. Happy
huge.
Turkey Day.
I had a lot of brothers and sisters, and Thanksgiving was a huge event. I can't remember Thanksgiving where my mom didn't start 2 turkeys in the morning because that's what I was going to feed us. 5 boys.
Wow.
Well, we wanted leftovers. One would feed us, but there wouldn't be any left. Second one was for leftovers next day. But yeah, many fond memories of my...
What's making a turkey if you don't have something left for turkey sandwiches?
Yep.
Right.
That's all about. Yeah, anybody else make the carcass stew? Carcass soup?
Yes, I do. I boil the skeleton and make turkey soup.
Absolutely. That's good stuff.
I've made the attempt a couple times. But when, you know how when you make the stock and then the next day you use it to do your thing? Well, that congealed gel thing that happens to turkey skis me out. So I make chicken soup, but I rarely do the carcass thing for the turkey, which is a shame. But, yeah, that nightmare of... gel.
Yeah, we scooped that up. Yeah.
Thank goodness.
But you got to leave some of it. That's what the flavor is.
Yep, there's flavor in that there gel.
No, I know.
Oh, yeah.
It's just, yeah. I mean, it's like fungus or mold or something. It just, to me, it's not supposed to be like that. And it's just, it automatically a turn off from the get-go.
Yep. Fatty sloth.
Put your fingers in and wiggle them around. It feels real good.
No. Ew.
Well, so everybody bring something to share, or we're going to pass around the mic here in a minute. Let everybody take a shot. We want to say, if anything, you don't have to. So I'm going to take this time and hand the mic to Deborah and let her handle it, because I'm going to try to get back to my cave. It's going to take me a couple minutes, okay? So I'm going to go on mute so I don't hear any weird noises.
Okay.
Come on back, Deborah.
Just watch for the bats. And, well, I'll tell you what. I was trying to finish this Voodoo download that he sent me, and then we will... I've been waiting for this poem that Sky wrote, and she got carried away and had to start over for a different project, and I've had to wait to see what she did with this adorable little photo of what I believe is a rat. I debated between a rat and one of them Australian critters, but I'm pretty sure it's a rat. But she's adorable, and I love her glasses. Okay. Now, Voodoo should be done in just a second. And Sky, I'm going to... Do I have your link? Let me go look while Hatter's running around to see what's
I have it.
In the magic topic board here. Okay. Sky. I do not see Sky's face. So, Sky, can you just put it directly on the chat wall for me? And then as soon as it pops up, I'll push play on the recording. Ah, she's... Thank you, Sky. Okay, then without any further ado, I'm going to find out what she did with this cutie. And I'm assuming that the one that says me at the very top is Sky. Here we go. Me's my line.
Sounds like it.
Here we go. And here we go. Come on, push. There we go.
Minerva Strauss by Sky Darkholm. Minerva Strauss was a poet mouse with 1950s jazz spectacles, a tipped pitch of roseate and black with tiny speck-like flocks of diamond louse. She often sat by a warm cuppa, watching the steam's shadow dance, and with the tossing melange of potpourri scents that drifted like snowflakes in camouflage trance. She'd mull and brood, flummoxed by the lawn of lines that seemed to chortle in churlish grins, a blank, listless patch of tunnels that held quizzical skins. She could not help but think those stationed hollows purposely nettled and footsed like a dither of dwaddling matter refusing to speak. Minerva Strauss would ask those notebook papers, despite their silent tongue-in-cheek, how bottles burned shipless wreck, how tossing waves met upon evergreens. But those blimey rapscallion leaves, they only stared like those kind of questions where a twaddle of piffle, frangible, jargoggled malarkey that might poison the mind. It cared not for seemingly useless cattywitches that posed as prose or poetry and deemed its presence nugatory. So in short, poor Minerva Strauss, the mouse who thought herself a poet, blew away the shadow steam and simply drank her tea. End poem.
Amazing. You turned around and you brought this little chick to life here, and I love her name, Minerva Strauss. Off the topic for just a half a second, Minerva is what my father always called my daughter Tiffany. Makes no sense, but we called her Skinny Minnie, and then it got shortened to Minnie, and then we all called her Minnie, he called her Minerva. So right from the first word, or you know, the title, I was like, oh, wait, I mean, I was excited that that's what you named her. Anyway, the 50s jazz spectacles. She often sat by a warm cup watching the steam shadow dance. That's cute. She'd mull and brood, fluxum by the lawn of lines. I love the thought of her mulling and brooding. So many little details. Minerva Strauss would ask those notebook papers, despite her silent tongue in cheek, how bottles burned shipless wrecks. I mean, you really brought her to life. You gave her a story. You get, as I said many times before, you have this way of vesting us in your, getting us vested in your characters, and that takes talent. And to give us all these little enchanting details are really cool. But again, I have to say my favorite part is the name that you gave her. So I love what you did with her. Absolutely. Thank you for bringing her tonight. Hatter. Are you back?
Not quite yet.
Okay. I just don't want to take over your show. How about if I get a comment from Sweet?
Yeah, I think that I'd like you to read that to me live. There's so many things in there that are daring, delightful, and darling. I can't even say them out loud. But a twaddle, a pickle, a frangible, jargled, with the malarkey. That's one of my favorites. This is great. I love the way you use language, and this is probably one of my favorite ways, let alone the storyline, because I think I'm a poet too, but I think I want to just drink the tea, especially if it's Mad Hatter tea, since he's our host tonight. Maybe then I could be the poet that I want to be and might be able to rhyme once in a while. This is just, it's funny. I was laughing through it, as obviously you heard. But I love the flummoxed by the lawn of lines. I love that imagery in that, the lawn of lines. I thought that was brilliant, too. Try not to take too many so other people have a lot to learn in here. But, yeah, I think that the mouse thought she was herself a poet, blew away the shadow screen and simply drank her tea. I should do that many nights of my life. But this is brilliant. Loved it, Sky. Very well done.
Thank you. I'll read it live to you sometime. I wasn't there tonight, so.
I just thought it was great.
Too cool. Awesome comment. And how about if I get a comment from Steven?
Yeah, I like this. I like this a lot. It's very sweet and very cute. It's another wonderful children's story for sure. I really like the wordplay. But I did have to let you know that I had to run and look up the word piffle because I wanted to see what it meant. And it turns out it means foolish talk. I think that is very cool, but it's very close to a word that we use to describe when one of our cats breaks wind.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Wayne?
Yes. This is a great... Yeah, can you hear me? This is a great poem. So hear me. I love the lines that she read when she first read, because she could not help but think those stationary hollows, puppets they nestled and puzzled like a dither of darling netter. That was great. When she read that, she read it so smoothly, I thought she was really saying something. I said, what in the world is that all about? And then she went on down and said, they only stared like those kinds of questions were a tattle, a pebble, tangible, tribal monarchy. And she said it so perfectly that I thought she was talking about something. And yet, anyway, you know, she did so melancholy and it's so humorous and smooth. She's smooth little right here. I like it a whole lot. She did a great job, and that's one of my favorites.
Thank you, Wayne.
Awesome comment. And okay, I'll get one from AP, and then you can take over. AP, comment for Scott. Sure.
Well, interestingly, going back to a conversation that seems Hatter and I have on most occasions, Minerva, of course, is from the Roman, the goddess of wisdom, justice, law, and sponsor of the arts. And so she was the sort of goddess of medicine, wisdom, commerce, and weaving, of all things. But when you actually read the poem, it sort of reads more English. And I think it's because of the use of language that we've talked about, whether it's dither or nettles or... whether it's rapscallion or gargobbled or frangible, there's a real sort of lovely sort of oldie English sort of feel to the language, and then sort of rubbed off on the character that you talk about as she sort of sits there, thinks about a whole heap of things, and then just drinks her tea. It's very English. I liked it.
Thank you, Lady.
Sorry, I missed.
I know Hatter. I'll have to give you the sound link because I brought that one because, one, I've been waiting to send it to Deb, and two, you like when I use really, like, obscure words and rhyme, and that's really offbeat, so you'll have to hear it sometime. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to grab it. So okay. Yeah, I heard part of the Minerva story. That's
okay. Sure. Thank you.
Your dad sounds a lot like mine. Mine, which I sort of inherited. I nickname everybody.
Yes, he did. I don't share mine.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, we all have them.
You don't share yours, but they call you.
That's what I said.
You're going to make us think of what could be so bad, Deborah. Debbie.
Call you one, Hatter.
I don't know. All right.
Cat
and
Andy, that's what she was.
Hey, I heard you brought some trivia or general knowledge of Thanksgiving. Debra?
I did actually. And before, hold on 1 second, though. Say hello to the Queen of Canada. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Welcome.
Hello.
Glad
hello.
Here.
It's Thanksgiving in America. Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Oh, take all the decorations down.
Have ours in October.
Yes, it is in October.
Mm-hmm. So what are we all thankful for? Have we discussed that yet, or are you in the process of it?
We're working on it.
No, we were just, we had a poem, we were going to ask a question, or, you know, just hit and miss stuff. Some of us are in a bah humbug mood, so we're just moving along and keeping things rolling.
Yeah, I can
relate
to that.
Yeah.
But I have something when you're ready to read with regard to kind of sort of like the first Thanksgiving, I guess you could say, generally speaking, if that's something you want to hear after a while. I would be happy to share it with you.
Well, thank you. Thank you. For bringing it, I'm sure we will. Many people are offended by the way we celebrate Thanksgiving. Is that right? Banning some cartoons.
Well, I read something. Yeah, I've had something that was posted on Facebook that there was a group of young. What?
Nothing. Nothing. It just amazes me. A day everybody should just take a breath. Hug the person next to you.
I think political correctness gets to under the skin too often. And you're right. Yeah. We should just be able to say thanks.
Yeah, that's all it is.
Yeah.
Well, I'm most definitely thankful for my friends here at AP on Blog Talk Radio. This radio gig, this radio thing, it really has bonded a lot of people together. I think that's a great thing. So that's mine.
I have a lot to be thankful for, and then I get really grouchy because I don't feel like being thankful. But I'm going to be thankful just the same. Just because.
Just because. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll get to my page here. I am.
I'm fearful to ask, but is Sweet's poem about her electrical something that she's talked about?
Yeah, Sweet. JP.
Wait, are you muted?
Never know.
No, no, it's not.
Oh.
I'm laughing at No. I'm laughing at Scott.
Good. Just checking.
No. I could pull one up, but that's totally a different show, AP.
No. I'm just asking, we were traveling by.
Yeah.
We should do.
Yeah.
Yeah. My smartphone's not very smart tonight. It's running behind. Gosh darn it. So what the... Everybody's got a special Thanksgiving they remember most, some bizarre something happening or something funny. Anybody want to share? Okay. I'll just do what you can take.
Yeah.
Let's go. Let's look at tomorrow. You know, tomorrow is turkey-free Thanksgiving. Wrong.
Yeah.
Right.
Is it?
The 25th.
No, we eat turkey for 3 more days.
Yeah, yeah. What the hell is that?
So
yeah.
Did you guys have, was it today was Thanksgiving for you guys? Or tomorrow? No, today.
Yeah.
Was, right?
Today.
So do we have good food or lots of company?
Yeah.
Or are you, oh, well, that's good. They put a rule on us for Thanksgiving with COVID, and you were not allowed. Even with vaccinations, we were not allowed to have anybody in our house that did not live there. That was the rule. And
sorry,
you can invite your family to go to Swiss Chalet and eat there. It was ridiculous.
I'm sorry, what country do you live in again?
You weren't allowed to have your family in your house with you, but you could go to a restaurant and eat there. With
what country do you live in?
What?
Whoa.
I'm sorry. How do you?
No, but that was how crazy things are getting here. Like, it's getting to the point where they lifted the ban on some things. We're not in the red anymore. We're not in a lockdown anymore. But
I don't understand.
It's just insanity. And even those, you know,
like
the whole thing with vaccinations and you'll be able to do blah, blah, blah. It hasn't changed one single bit. We have to show our proof
of
vaccination wherever we go. And you have to have a piece of ID with you to prove that it's you that has the vaccination card that says you have the vaccination. It's just insane. Yeah.
What is your favorite
part? We're never
going
to get rid of it.
Eat?
We just need to learn how to live with it. That's it.
Yeah,
I'm
afraid
do you
that might be.
Do you eat turkey in Canada?
Pardon me?
Do you guys eat turkey in Canada?
Of course.
Or is it goose? I didn't know. Maybe you ate your geese. I didn't know.
No, we have turkey. We have it at Thanksgiving and Christmas. Our Thanksgiving is in October. But
so
I like
ham. So what's your favorite part? Yeah.
The turkey? I like dark meat.
Yeah, what part is because me too. I like dark meat.
Just
a random question.
Tomorrow, besides being Black Friday, is National Cake Day and National Flossing
Day.
And why did they call it Black Friday? Do you know, Hatter?
I believe it's because it's the black and the red. It's when the company stores can advertise and it puts them in the black. Puts them in the blue.
Yes. I just took over Deb's trivia question. Sorry, Deb. That is correct.
So, Deb.
I'm sorry, what happened?
I stole the trivia question. I'm sorry.
Yeah, why is it Black Friday, she asked.
Oh, I don't know. I wasn't that. I'm in the inbox. I'll be right back, Hatter.
Okay.
I've got an answer for you, sweet.
Yes.
The earliest use of Black Friday. Referred to in the journal Factory Management and Maintenance in November 1951, which referred to workers calling in sick in the day after Thanksgiving in order to have a four-day weekend.
Is that
so
right?
It was called Black Friday because everybody was crook. Well, intelligent.
That started the 4-day weekend.
They're also considering making the day out, the Monday after Super Bowl, a holiday of some kind, because they're experiencing the same problem.
That's a good idea.
With the Monday after Super Bowl, because they're having such a high level of people calling in sick or asking for the day off after Super Bowl Sunday.
Yes.
Well, if you think about it, you guys on the East Coast, it's different out here on the West Coast. We're 3 hours earlier, so our game starts at 6 o'clock. Yours starts at 9. It's not over till midnight. Party, party. Your team wins. Yeah. I agree with that. Day after Super Bowl.
Believe it or not,
mental
health. Discussion on HR boards, weirdly enough.
Which president made Thanksgiving a permanent national holiday?
Who? Peter Roosevelt.
No, let's ask Wayne.
Truman?
FDR?
Abraham Lincoln.
Truman? Oh, not Lincoln. Oh. So he pardoned it.
Yep, he did. Uh-huh.
Wow.
Wow.
There you go.
It was
and the new president tried to make Thanksgiving the third Thursday in November to help boost the economy for the holiday season. Which president?
Richard Nixon.
Did,
I don't know.
Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
FDR. Yep. There you go.
Mm-hmm. What fun.
That's good.
Which Native American tribe celebrated the first Thanksgiving with the Pilgrims?
What was the tribe?
Yeah.
The Seminoles? The Seminoles?
No, it was the Wampanoag.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, I wasn't going to get that.
You knew that.
Yeah.
Goodness.
It was about my 24th.
Yeah, think about it. That would be strange. Just getting off a boat, not knowing the land, getting off it, and then starting to what? Build immediately.
Yes.
Yes.
And I have a poem about that exactly. Would you like to hear it?
No, I got to go in a few minutes. No.
Yeah. Let's go. We're waiting for Deb to come.
So
you'll free yourself.
Put your palm on the board then.
That was really
that's
nice.
That's what you're doing.
Well, I'm sorry.
We're trying to get the trivia
phone,
thing off so we can all be here when it happens.
How did we switch phones?
What'd you say?
No, I'm going to read
great
it. Switch no. I'll throw it on board. Dad,
okay.
Where are you?
What turkeys actually gobble? Gobble, gobble, gobble. Which ones do that?
There's the air stances.
The male turkeys are the gobblers.
Oh. Yeah. Well, yeah.
Subset of those are five.
Let me see.
I'm just waiting to see.
All right, Hatter, I'm
going to
read my poem
book,
to you.
Front of the book?
No.
Hey, excellent.
No.
Next week's bullying of the queue.
I am being a bit of a bully, but I have to. I'm in Wyoming, and I have to. I got to find my dang poem first.
No.
I have mine very handy. I'm all prepared.
Oh, thank you. Mine was in the room. It's on
the
board. You put it on the board.
Bull, you know, cow, you know, like that was quite nice.
Oh, I know.
What state consumes the most turkey every Thanksgiving?
New York City.
Louisiana.
California.
California, yep.
Jesus. Thank you very much.
Come on. I'm sorry, guys. My computer's jacking me up.
California's the ninth largest economy in the world, excluding the fact that it happens to be in the United States.
Oh, here's a news flash. Vancouver poet Lisa Kasdan wins 2021 CBC Poetry Prize, $6,000 from the Canadian Council for the Arts.
Mm-hmm.
Yay,
excellent.
Lisa.
Well done.
people want to know. Alright,
I'm good
here.
AP, can you post my phone on board? My computer will not do it.
Yeah, oh, no drama, sweet. Let me go and find it. But is it the last one on the list?
No, it's like the third or fourth.
Okay. What's it called?
Allison Hatter's Thanksgiving Conversation.
Oh, cool. Okay. Bear with me.
Okay. Thank you.
It's not called Curiosity, is it?
No.
It just has a Alice. No, it's, oh, I've got it. Yeah, no, bear with me. I'll be two ticks. So I found it. And
right,
it's
you.
Coming up on the board in two ticks. It is there now.
Ah, thank you. Thank you. So this is Alice and the Mad Hatter's Thanksgiving Feast Conversation.
Excellent.
All right. Thank you very much. So, Alice, please explain this holiday, the food, the football, the parade. This charade is but a puzzle. My mind does grind. Are you not grateful every time? Hatter, sit and talk for a while. Tell me of your adventures and make me smile. As we feast on turkey meat and crocodile. Today I say thank you in a grandiose style. Alice, I talk in riddles, this is true. This holiday is gibberish. I'm still confused. Happiness is finding joy in the way you live. Being kind and thankful in the moment is how to begin. Alice, someone must love the dog who bites. He was beaten and not treated right. Wonderland has creatures and people that can cause fright, but the Mad Hatter is here to hold your hand and make it right. Oh, Hatter, Thanksgiving is a cornucopia of memories of families. I want to thank Wonderland for all her hospitality. And my maddest of Hatters, I want to thank you for being my friend, not leaving me in the dark and hanging out with me every weekend. Hatter, I thank you for always being true. My life would be missing a nut and a screw. I wouldn't be whole. I would have been blue. But today is Thanksgiving, and I'm thankful for you. End poem.
Aww. Whoa. A nut and a screw. I don't know if we'd be missing a nut and a screw. This is so good. Damn. I'm a little choked up. Just because my name's in it. What do you think, AP?
I told you I wrote you a poem for Thanksgiving.
Yes. Yes, you
well,
did.
I think it's a lovely poem. I think it's a personal poem. I think the use of cornucopia is quite beautiful. And I think that it's a lovely poem about friendship, first, foremost, and everything else. And there's absolutely nothing wrong, and it should be encouraged to write poems about friendship.
Most definitely. Sky, what do you think?
Dying
I think
back.
She's gone.
Okay. Steven still here?
No.
I think he's gone too.
Okay, Wayne? Wayne left too, okay. Sweet.
No, I think Wayne's here. I thought it was okay.
Lady A? Lady
Wayne
A
looks back.
Oh, yeah, here I am.
I'm back. Wait a minute. I'm back.
Okay.
I apologize. I let Wayne back in the room, and I have a 111 that I don't know who it is, so let me check on that, and I'll be right back.
Yeah, I was on hold. I couldn't talk to you.
Yeah, it's my fault, but I'm back with it. Here's
mine.
Here you go.
Here's mine. Well, anyway, go ahead, guys.
Hey, Wayne.
Hey, give me a comment. What's going on?
Yeah, were you able to, did you hear the, did you read it?
Oh,
Wayne?
Yeah, I was here the whole time. I heard it. It's a wonderful poem. It's a great Thanksgiving Day poem, and I love the way she read it, and it's very touching. And who's that Hatter guy? Great job.
Excuse me, Hatter.
Yeah,
Naomi's here.
Hi, Naomi. unneeded. Sweet. I love the rhyme. The rhyme was solid.
Yeah. Hello.
Hey, Missy.
Hello.
Hello. Hello, everybody.
Welcome.
Naomi. How Canada?
Happy Thanksgiving, you Americans, or whoever's American in the gang. Our Thanksgiving was on the 10th of October or the 11th. I don't know. We don't really celebrate Thanksgiving here in Quebec very much.
Why?
It's more an English Canadian thing, I guess. Yeah,
oh,
but here we don't. Yeah, we don't really.
That's
yeah,
bad.
It's not a big. Yeah. Well, we celebrate Christmas and New Year's Eve, but Thanksgiving is not. No, it's not a big deal for us. You know, I don't know. It depends on cultures and traditions and places. So it's not very a big deal here.
We just learned that it was implemented in the United States by one of our presidents to help the economy, by Abraham Lincoln, in fact, to help the economy in the middle of winter. It sort of makes sense.
Oh, yeah.
They'd sell
more turkeys.
That's it. They invented football. That helped. Here, so. Well, cool. Well, Deborah, are you back now?
Yes, I am.
Okay, cool. Well, we were waiting around for some trivia or some mind-bending factoids.
Mind-bending? Well, I don't remember promising mind-bending.
That's the champagne, the juice. Here, honey, pour your glass. There you go. Pick it up.
So what is the wobble your red piece of flesh on top of the beak of a turkey called?
The top of the flesh on a wobble? I don't know. The top of the
wobble. Yeah, wobble. Pretty wobble from
the
knees.
The crown, not the crown.
Well, the chick is a comb, and it's a wobble.
Comb,
yeah. The wobble's underneath in the neck, I think.
Yeah, it's underneath, yeah.
I should know this. I raised turkeys.
Begins with an
I can't,
F.
I don't remember.
What's
an
the
F?
First letter? Give us a clue with the first letter.
I just did, sweetie. S, like Sam.
A.
I've actually never heard of this.
S, Sam.
I have no idea. Shoot.
You stumped us.
How many syllables in the word?
A waddle?
One.
Just one, huh? Okay.
I guess I cheated. I looked it up on the internet. I'm not going to say the answer.
I put the answer on the board.
A snood.
Had anyone heard that before?
No.
What's it called? No. Not there.
Snood. S-N-O-O-D.
Oh.
It says
on
the red bit of flesh under the beak. It's called a wattle, as you said. We are definitely not helping the turkey's reputation as the silly animal with all these names, but that one's a snood.
Wow, I've never heard that.
Here.
I know the different kinds of turkeys.
What are most turkey feathers used for after the turkey is plucked?
Turkey feathers?
They make
back
a
in the
fan
day,
for them.
Back in the day or now?
Geez, Hatter, it just says, what are most turkey feathers used for after the turkey is plucked? I would imagine, how about we go with 2020?
Do they have pillows with turkey feathers?
I was going to say a feather duster, but like that's maybe tickling.
Or fans. Yes. Quills. Good guesses, but nobody's got it yet.
Decoration, Christmas decoration or something. Lures, duck decoys.
Nope. Well, I would tell you that they grind up the turkey feathers for protein, and the protein is used in animal feed because they're made up of keratin.
Okay.
And they give it to animals such as cows who are able to digest. And I say, ew, poor cow.
Yeah.
Here's an interesting one I didn't know. What state raises the most turkeys?
What was that?
What U.S. state raises the most turkeys?
Raises the most turkeys.
Probably like Michigan or something. There's a lot in California.
Most turkeys. Texas?
I think it's on the East Coast. Somewhere like Vermont or something like that.
Connecticut?
Or the Carolinas, maybe.
Nobody got it yet?
Nobody got it yet. Well, I will say that the second highest is North Carolina with 31 million.
Oh,
lady.
There you go.
South Carolina.
Nope. Third place would be Arkansas at 27.5 mil.
Kentucky.
And the leading U.S.
Iowa.
That raises 41 million turkeys a year. That raised 41 million turkeys in 2015 was Minnesota.
Minnesota. Oh, wow. Okay. I wouldn't have thought that. Well, there's a lot of farms, though. Yeah.
Well, big sky, big turkeys.
Yeah, Benjamin Franklin wanted the country state bird to be the turkey.
Yeah. Kind of liked it. He was vetoed and we had a bald eagle, just saying.
That would make Thanksgiving a little weird, huh?
Yeah.
It would have been like it would have been worse than our beaver here in Canada. our little fluffy beaver that's so scary.
when you guys were asking questions earlier, did someone ask about the green bean casserole already?
No.
The green bean casserole. No.
Okay, because I have a few questions about
there.
The food itself now. It says, what decade was green bean casserole a Thanksgiving staple in many households first created? I do have the specific date in front of me, but they just want to know the decade.
When was the green bean casserole, you said?
Casserole, yeah. Normally they take a can of Campbell's, which is who did this, cream of mushroom soup, And then you mix it, green beans, and you bake it in the oven like a casserole. And then when it's almost done, you pull it out and you get some French's fried onions. And you crumble them all over the top and you put it back in for about 10 minutes with the lid. And since I don't mushrooms, I use cream of chicken broccoli and cheddar soup.
Okay.
Homemade.
With
that I make at a different time and then freeze some. Anyway, I put the cream of chicken cheddar soup in and mix it with the green beans and then do the rest of it just like the other one. Anyway, way sidetrack. It was 1950s and specifically 1955 was the first time. And since then, I mean, it's at all of ours. I don't know if it's a 50-state thing or... Because I know that Campbell's soup originated in Camden, New Jersey, so it could be more to this area, but I'm pretty sure that everybody knows what Campbell's soup is nowadays, so for all I know...
Yeah,
so for all I know, everybody eats the green bean casserole, but anyhow.
Yeah,
not here. I never heard of that. No, I just eat my green beans on the side.
Wow. How about if we change to something sweet? Does anyone know in what century, what century the first pumpkin pies as we know them were made?
Whoa. That probably goes back to King Arthur.
It was the 1800s, I think.
I go 1700s.
Can you tell us what country it was in?
Well, I can. And I could say that I think Hatter said 1700s. You were closest. It was the 17th century. Which makes it the 1600s. And although it's native to North America, the pumpkin pie was actually first made in England and Europe. It wasn't until the 19th century that pumpkin pies, as we know them, started showing up in American cookbooks. Wow.
Yeah. I said 17th century.
200 years we went without pumpkin pie.
What a sin. So good.
All right.
I'm
well,
not eating 100-year-old pie.
Go ahead, sorry. What were you going to say, AP?
I said I'm not eating 100-year-old pumpkin pie for anybody, Deb.
Ew, I wouldn't either. Let me see here. Hatter, can you chat for a moment? Hatter.
Yeah.
Take over, please.
Oh.
Just to clarify
who's
that.
Taking over?
I thought. But
good.
Go ahead, AP.
Excellent.
No,
go for it.
Well, I just want to clarify that I did say 17th century, not 1700s. A little closer.
You're saying that you actually won, Hatter. That's what you're saying.
I guess so.
That's what you're saying. You're saying I actually got the answer right. Yeah, that's what you're saying.
Remember that when we were growing up, all the nursery rhymes with the apple pie in the window cooling, right? The smell that would get off it. In your vision, in your eyes, what decade or century do you visualize that?
The 1950s.
19th century?
I'm with you.
The 1800s?
No.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, the 19th century is the 1800s, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was thinking 1950
is
what I was thinking.
The 1900s after, yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, I was thinking the I guess the Dutch with the wooden, what do they call those wooden shoes? Clogs?
Yeah.
Clogs. Yeah.
In the nursery rhymes, yeah. Maybe there's some book we had when I had when I was a kid. I don't know.
That's true, yeah.
But being raised on a farm, apple pie was something that is nothing more than 4 inches thick. I mean, you can't pile any more apples in a pie when it first starts cooking. Then it settles down a little bit. Absolutely huge pieces of pie. Good stuff. Yeah. I think the best they got had the peach cobbler. That came once a year, basically. And blackberry cobbler.
Yes.
And,
I'm back. Sorry about that.
Okay.
I had
okay.
to step into
talk
the green
about,
room.
Talk about
so
pies.
Listen, I need to interrupt the fun for a moment and introduce the next caller. Say hello to JCA.
Hey,
JCA.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Hey,
Jay. Happy Thanksgiving. Now, I'm going to put a few of the calls on mute for a minute because Jay has something he wants to say. So just sit tight for a second if you don't mind. And here we go. Jay?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Absolutely. You know, there's been a lot that has happened. And I know you guys at the Team of Voices haven't been privy to my life over the last, say, 10 months or so. Last year, I lost my daughter to a horrible four-wheeler accident. This year, recently lost my mother. And it made me realize how fragile life is and how short a time we have within here. And we have to make the most of what we have with each other. With that, I want to publicly say that I'm sorry to AP for things that have happened in the past because of situations pertaining to certain individuals that I'm not going to name off. We all know who they are. And what it is I followed along. I did wrong. And I know I did wrong, and I want to go ahead and, you know, make amends for what's going on and be thankful that we have an opportunity to ask for forgiveness on this Thanksgiving Day in America. So, AP, that is for you, my friend. I'm sorry that I did what I did, and I'm hoping that you'll be able to find it in your heart to forgive me.
Well, Jay, firstly, it takes a lot of courage and it takes a lot of depth to apologize, and that was very humbly said, and I'm very, very happy to accept your apology.
Thank you.
Awesome. You guys just made my day. Now, never mind, I see it. Okay, I'm going to let everyone back in. Sorry for the interruption, you guys. That was a absolutely wonderful Thanksgiving treat. And Hatter, back to you.
Yeah.
You're the host.
Yeah, well, I was sort of hoping you would gather up the trivia or did you run through the questions already? Did you already do that?
No, I do have some more, but I'm just thinking that we're in here for a solid hour. Maybe we ought to share a couple of the poems people sent you and you know, mix them in.
Do we have sound files?
Yeah, let me see here. I know that Naomi has a recording. Now, let me ask the question I asked at the beginning again first. Is anyone in a time crunch?
No. Well, I can be here. What time does this finish?
We got an hour left.
Okay, well, I can be here till about 20 after midnight there. 20 minutes.
Okay.
Okay, then maybe that's what we'll do. Naomi, I'll grab your link and put it on the board and then play your recording. I got it. And
the funny one.
Let me see. Where's the group? Okay. Here we go. And AP, go and push that button that we talked about.
Ooh.
In the chat room.
Well, I think I can. I think I know which one I'm talking about.
Yes, please. Thank you. And guys, let's click on Naomi's poem, and I will push her recording.
Where has romance gone? I had just started writing. Through my head, my muse was tripping. Oh, she was just baking cookies like crazy, shoveling them out of the oven like it was on fire. And I'm telling you, those cookies were smoking, steaming hot. Yep, my muse is singing, twirling, swirling. The cookies are flying through my brain. Left and right, hell, she is just dancing topless all over my kitchen countertops. Then, damn it, the darn phone rings and everything just stops. Oh, shit, it's Yellow Mellow Guy. My latest Tinder swiped right while asking myself, oh, hell, why? He had arrived with a drooling smile, half there, half aware, slurred out a slow, yo, hello, winked in a sad attempt to flirt, and shoved into my arms a gigantic bowl of yellow jello. Grasping the doorknob so he'd stop swaying to and fro, and shouted out, look, I brought dessert. Now, don't get me wrong, Jell-O's fine, just not ideal to accompany wine. Oh, geez, I'm not asking for no hero, but where is all the romance gone? Where are the men with chocolates, flowers, and beautiful songs? I called his taxi back because, geez, I'm telling you, he wasn't too sexy, and I wasn't that desperate. The phone rings on. Hell, oh, no, oh, no, no, no. I'm not answering it. My muse is running naked out the door. My wonderful lines of poetry, a dead pile laying on the floor, right beside a burnt cookie, and her still jiggling yellow bra.
Yellow, don't eat the yellow jello. Anybody here? Is everybody on mute? This is hilarious. No, unlike the yellow jello. It's almost as bad as the green jello.
No, Hatter, I just gave you the mic back, so you got to call for some comments.
Well, I know. I that doesn't prepare. No, this is hilarious. I love her narration. And she reads it the way she does, going in from the different characters. What was it? Oh, hell, why? Oh, then damn it, the phone rings. Okay, cookies are flying through my brain left and right. Hell, she's just dancing topless all over my kitchen countertop. It's like a sacred event. Cooking cookies. Oh. Yeah, what did you think, AP?
Oh, no, I thought it was great. I love the line, I called his taxi back because, geez, I'm telling you, he wasn't too sexy and I wasn't that desperate. I think that sort of sums up the world of dating quite beautifully, really. And
I really love the burnt cookies and still jiggling yellow bra at the end. I just thought, all power to you, Tony. Keep rolling.
Yeah. And Jell-O doesn't go with wine.
No.
Sweet. What do you think?
She heard
I think
it.
Sweet still with us? Does she have to go?
But disappeared into the night.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, you have, in the room is me, you, AP, Lady A, Naomi, and Jay.
Okay, Lady A.
Everybody else hung up.
Think? Okay. Had some place to be. Lady A, you still with us?
Yeah, I am. I thought this was really entertaining, and I really thought the enthusiasm with which you read it was even more entertaining, and the poem was a fun write, and it was really a lot of fun to hear you read it. The story told, your muse is quite a little minx, if I can say, running around half nude, and I thought it was really entertaining. It was a fun fun piece for her.
Yeah, I think that's the next step of evolution for our radio group is to be more become theatrical performances. That'd be the next step.
Yes.
And that's not a bad idea. Yes. But Naomi does it great. JC, what'd you think?
Oh, bottom line is Naomi kills it every single time.
Yeah.
You know, she had her. She is the queen of rant. I got to just say that name right now. You are the queen of rant. You bring it out there, and it's so fun. It's unfortunately, it's kind of like her pain is so fun to us. She makes it fun, but she describes it in such a way that you can't help but laugh. You can't help but say, oh, this is great. You know, I like this. Where are the men with chocolates, flowers, and beautiful songs? I called his taxi back because, geez, I'm telling you, he wasn't too sexy, and I wasn't that desperate. Come on.
Yeah. Right.
That freaking killer right there. Awesome job, Naomi.
Thank you.
Hilarious. Hilarious.
It's
you,
really
Naomi.
Based on some of my dating experiences.
Does that include the yellow?
Oh, yeah. I'm telling you guys here, it must be guys in Quebec. I don't know. These French guys are... Or he just got out of the hospital, maybe. I don't know. He brought his Jell-O along with him.
That's hilarious. Fun stuff.
So I put Lady A's up on the board.
Excellent.
Lady A.
All righty. Well, I wrote this a while ago, and I thought it might be a fairly good write for Thanksgiving based on the history of Thanksgiving. And and I'll just read it, and then you can tell me what you think. It's called Unforgiving Cold. Ominous onyx clouds, rain pours upon the ground. Ocean churns, frothy whitecaps turn. Seasick sailors stumble, hang off taff rails as sea pummels. Bilge resistance weakens. She rolls violently with wave sequence. Waiting on the shore, pioneers sent before, attempts to tame the land, unforgiving cold, hinterland. Ships set sail from England, supplies on board to save them. Sea swells slam the vessel, all on board in peril. Settlers watch in horror and plead God will restore her, doomed to die on foreign soil if ship runs aground in turmoil. Fervent are prayers sent, begging sea swells to relent. Starvation takes the lives of children, the plight of early pilgrims. We owe the ancestors, We owe our existence to the elders. Courage, bravery, they dare take risks. We have their history. Thankful for the angry skies, raging seas, which lead to me. Grateful for the sacrifice our forefathers dreamed, dreams of paradise. End poem.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Just reflect on the perils it was to get on a ship in Europe and sail west. Not knowing, you know, just it's a leap of faith, big time. JC, what do you think?
This is actually quite a tale right here, and you're right. It is about that plight that they came because they never knew exactly what was going to happen to them. So, Lady A, I love your word choices in this. I love how you use some of these almost in a triquatrain form. You know, waiting on the shore, pioneers set before. You know, I love when you can put in an inner rhyme and work it so well. This is it's well put together and a wonderful share.
Thank you. And I think it needs to be said too, because I think there's a lot of and there were many people that came over from Europe to settle the land. Now we could digress and go into being politically correct with who owned the land to begin with, and but I didn't want to go there with it. I think that the help that was received from the First Nations people when the Europeans came over speaks for itself. I think that we are all Canadian and American, and we owe our existence to our forefathers who came in hopes of making a better life for themselves and their families. So, and that's greatness to be thankful for.
Yeah, it. I like where you hit it is a leap of faith to the courage of our forefathers. I mean, the unknown for a sailor. Oh, and I did like how you put seasick sailors. that would suck. Your husband, if you were married to a sailor or a merchant marine, you would see him look. Board that ship with sails. I mean, the trips are like 2 years long.
Yeah.
So, and most of the homes that faced the ocean in those coves, where the townships were, there's always a top third floor, fourth floor, whatever, that had one window. It was called something. I don't think it was called a widow's nest.
A widow's walk. Yes.
Yeah,
absolutely.
They were,
yeah.
That's where they would. Wait and wait to see their ship come in. Yeah, a whole different lifestyle. We take so much for granted. So much so easy stuff pisses us off when it should just be a thing. AP, what do you think?
Yeah, I really like the poem, and I like the sense of the spirit behind the poem of people taking the chance and getting on a boat and starting their lives in a place that they didn't know. And in Australia, it was still happening in the 1950s. You know, we had the so-called 10-pound Poms that came over to Australia in tens and twenties of boats to start their lives, and they only had 10 pounds. That's what they were called. And my father's family was one of them. My father landed in Australia from a boat, from a five-week journey from the UK, and he did that in about 1951. And it was a way to get away from the war in Europe and a way to start again. And that's what his family did here in Australia, and that's why I'm here.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cool. Just look at how many ships. Yeah.
I just wanted to tell you we have Stephen's poem because he had to go, so I was going to get AP to read that, and then all we have left is JCA's and a recording from Budo and a recording from Wayne, and then you could talk as much as you want, but I think we should get the poems in.
Sure.
Just saying.
Yeah. So everybody else can get ready. Why don't you do the SoundCloud that recording?
Okay. I got to go back into the room. I'm sorry. I had put Steven. Give me a second. All right. I'm going to grab Wayne's and put it on the board. And then, so we'll do Wayne's recording, and then we'll get AP to read for Stephen, and then we'll get, and we'll do the last recording. So let's just do these four. So click on Wayne's, and I will push the recording. And AP, you can take a look at Stephen's while we play this one. And
yeah.
Here we go.
Yep.
Thank you.
This is called Broken Mind Mending. Many denim days I lost on the parchment pathway. We climb the slate-stained stone stairs my way. Framed by Grandma and Grandpa's perfume portrait, arrive at a charcoal shelter created by my mind's mental state. To stay tucked in the backyards of my mystique mind, with a sweet chrome kaleidoscope, I would find a place where the red robin's honeydew eggs hatches, and my artichoke middle clusters receive clementine patches. A month of catching comfort in the crevice of the cerebellum has brought bloom to branch that borders the brain's problem, allowing my eggshell whites of my reddish eyes to gaze at the gazebo garden and fly into air to stare at bouquet blossoms with butterflies pardon. See cornucopia of flamingo colors that dot edge of Brooks Bank, while burgundy bluebonnet flowers give us turquoise water to thank. As the wind caresses the giant cypress wood with its manis feel, listen to the blackbirds and mulberry woodpeckers squeal. Sit at my cherry bar at my cadmium condo beside a cobblestone fireplace, admiring asparagus clover-colored valley with its heavenly taste. Below, God's goldenrod rays show pumpkin and mango grace. Remembering two teenagers laughing as we marched in place. Pregnant mate and I lie against post, snipping the snapdragon, watching squirrels being attacked from both sides as the war rages on. The chocolate owls, command robins, seeking hybrids on the tree trunks as intro ivy hangs to blackberry hedges hiding skunk. While the still, till streams reflect like jewel glass before supper. Three taps of shrubs dripping rose petals like rubber. Heavy scales the walls of dire depressive depths to gain life. I yearn to return to love that burns from lost child and adoring wife. Ian?
Wow, that was moving.
Epic.
Does he go through the whole, is there a chronological happening here, young to old? Arrived at charcoal shelter created by mind's mental state. Man, Wayne, this, you really hit it out of the ballpark here. This is really good. You know, most times when people read free, the pauses, I don't know if it's subconscious, but sometimes it's more of a rhyme scheme. See, in my ear, I'm waiting for it to rhyme, which to me ruins my perception of what the poet means, because I'm waiting for something to hear that doesn't come. Wayne reads it perfectly. There are a lot of others that also do the same, that I don't wait for that third line. It's not written in a poetic rhyming style, if you know what I mean. Does that make sense at all? AP?
I think the thing that Wayne did here, I mean, Wayne usually reads a lot quicker in his other poems, and he speaks a lot quicker too.
Yeah.
And whereas here what he was doing is he was deliberately slowing himself down so that it felt like he was within the poem and you were more within the poem as well. And it was a very different type of ride. He wasn't going for any humorous pictures. He was trying to create an image for the reader that was quite a serene image and quite a detailed serene image, and I think he did it exceptionally well.
Yeah, he did. Slowing it down, definitely. What do you think, JC?
Well, one thing is, and I will name Wayne right here, let's coronate Wayne as the king of word banks. He has that ability to bring in as many words as you give him. In this case, was this 50 words and 25 colors? So you're talking about 75 words total that he brings into this, right? That is just phenomenal that he's able to do something like this in a coherent way, in a way that presses on the emotion, in a way that just captivates the reader and listener in this case. He just did an absolutely brilliant job all the way around.
Yeah, none of it seems forced. And that's the word bank. That's usually something that is noticeable in trips. And Wayne did a great job hiding that, or not hiding it, but not falling into that that pattern of forcing something. Yeah, Lady A, what do you think?
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say what Jay said about the word banks and the colors. He utilizes all of them most of the time, or tries to at least use all of them. And the other thing that I find that I like the change in his is what AP said, is the pace in which with which he reads and his poetry. He just seems to be has grown into this more complex and more serious poet. I think he had, and I'm just assuming, I'm just thinking that I think after this long with the groups that he's gained more confidence in as a poet, to be able to put words together and thought processes together that are more serious and a little more complex. So I enjoyed that part of this kind of poetry that he does, with the word banks or otherwise, that he's, that serious side of him is quite deep at times.
Yeah, a perfect example of another poet just evolving. Just I keep mentioning it, and I will, the quality of the poet's poetry that have come across in several weeks, it just gotten so much better. And that just comes with the territory. You do something every day, you get serious about something, you learn from other people, their styles. Things not to fall into, or by example, I guess. And this radio gig really emphasizes that too, not only the bonding between the poets, but to be able to speak and talk about the styles and the changes. Everybody has their own little nuance. Mine's using the word shadow. I think my last two, I didn't have it in it. Purposely made sure I didn't put shadow in it. I use it all the time.
Yeah, I've been trying to leave her out. I feel you there.
Yeah. All right. So who's next?
So I'm going to read you Stephen.
Yes. So this was the poll that Stephen had on the board that he wasn't able to read before he disappeared. So this is Card Table Hijinks and Folding Chair Chow. It goes a little bit like this. Through the miles of blacktop separate hearts, thankfulness does bring them nigh. Through smiles and grins and forgiven sins, ears amplifiers spry. White meat and delightful dark potatoes mashed and mounded. Grand gravy rivers running apart, sausage stuffing taste unfounded. Best china and silver now full of prints, stained with whole cranberry relish. Pumpkin pie of dessert crushed hints, whipped cream sprayed down esophagus. Legumes and mushrooms under onions French fried, yams and pecans much mellowed sweet. Olives and crunchy pickles are on the side. Hot buttered brown and served rolls cannot be beat. Fingers sticky but look very clean, unsnapped second serving bellies are able. Tomfoolery hijinks, bustle and teen, when olives hunker. At the kids' table in Pong.
The kids' table.
Yes.
The kids' table.
Absolutely.
It's always a kids' table. You can't fit them all on the main table. How do you got to have a kids' table?
I was married when I wanted to sit at the kids' table. So
often more fun on the kids' table, not as formal.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I think we went from just about the time I graduated from the kid table, we all went potluck, you know, to just help yourself.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. I remember that Christmas, Thanksgiving, Christmas dinners at my mother-in-law's when I was married, and we spent all those holidays with them, and she set the most beautiful table with all her best. And the kids' table was always there. And now with my gang, like, it's just exactly that. Like, here's a paper plate, there's a fork, help yourself.
Yeah, that's it.
I miss the fancy table, though. I really have to say, I sitting down to dinner with my in-laws was a true treat and a gift, and I do miss that a lot.
I actually, my in-laws would do the same thing, and I actually, that was uncomfortable. I didn't like it at all. Of course, they would fit 10 people at an 8-seated, you know, 8-person table. So much crowded that we could do the thing.
Yeah.
But that's why, I guess, where you share your lives. You haven't seen each other for a year. I wish. But, yeah, memories, huh? So you like that crystal tape, what do they call it? The thing in the middle of the table? The centerpiece.
Centerpiece.
Yeah, and all the crystal. Jacob Martin. Excellent. Well, I lost track. Did everybody get a comment on that?
I'll go ahead and give a comment for Steve.
Sure.
This reminds me of my days as a kid. We had a kitchen table and we had the dining room table. We had the biggest dining room table you ever saw in your life. It was huge. We had we probably had a dozen people around it. So there wasn't really a need for a kids table until all of a sudden the grandkids started appearing. And what happened is the kitchen table ended up turning into the kids table. So you had two tables there, and then more came, and then you had to set something up downstairs, a third table, you know. But that's how it all goes eventually. But ultimately, you know, Thanksgiving, really, the way you bring people together is through the food, through the culinary aspect of it. And he grabbed such a great, you know, he grabbed the essence of the culinary center of what Thanksgiving is about. Yes, it's about communion and communicating with each other through food. And if food brings us together, makes us closer as a family, makes us closer as people, so be it.
That's the way it was. To sit and dine with a person was a sign of friendship, given the time. And family. Yeah, AP, come in.
Yeah, look, it's just got a very communal spirit about the poem. There's this real sort of sense of place and the sense of people's place within it, and it's not a traditional poem by any stretch of the imagination, but it's a poem of sharing, and it's a sort of poem of family and love.
Yeah, rhyme is spot on.
Absolutely.
Excellent. Lady A, do you want to comment?
I got to get back to it, though. I'm skipping around a little bit. Well, Stephen always writes very sentimental poems when it comes to family things and that. So we're not talking about Stephen. We're talking about Jay, aren't we?
I see you.
Oh, okay, because I got them backwards here. Okay. Well, I think, like we were talking about the chairs and all the seatings and of the kids and everything that goes with it. I think he explained it and wrote about it in a really great fashion. And I love to look at this kind of poem, and it makes you reminisce about the things that you loved about getting together with your family and it was always a huge feast, and he's presented this in a really great way. And I absolutely love the fact that he brought in the kids' table.
Yeah, cranberry relish, pumpkin pie for dessert.
Yeah.
This you can tell this is written by a chef. I swore that at the end I was going to read that it was a word bank, but it isn't. Let's see, it was because he named so many, legumes and mushrooms, and their onions, French fried yams and pecans, marshmallows, sweet olives and crunchy pickles. Oh, come on. Yeah, definitely the best thing about Thanksgiving was the damn food. Jeez. Excellent. Deborah, do you want to comment?
Well, yeah, I thought he covered almost everything that you could think of. And it was also really cool that he had the, how he put it, he put legumes and mushrooms under onions French fried. That is the same thing I was talking about earlier, that green bean casserole. So I found it funny that he had it in his poem. But yeah, it was just, you start naming off all these foods, and everybody had one that was at every event, no matter what. Him and I were actually talking about the spinach dip and the pumpernickel rye that you make a bowl out of and dip. And anyway, so it was just a full-on torture of food. And everybody's always saying that when they get done reading one of my poems, they're hungry. So I think this was sort of payback. And if you take a look to the side there, just on a note, this is his 241st can. So he's really belting them out nowadays, let me tell you. Another great chef.
Yeah,
I
like to...
I said we have two left. We have Mr. JCA,
okay.
And we have Mr. Budo.
All right, let's go JC.
All right. I want to first of all preface that this really has nothing to do with Thanksgiving, but something I am thankful for, which is fishing. So I saw you wanted a little something funny, Hatter, so I brought this. It's called Why Can't the Geese Clean Up After Themselves? And it goes like this. The sky is a naughty boy. Fish and spot on the bank. Crack the night crawlers, bait the hook, my first cast of the summer. Sink to the bottom, light dissolves, raindrops on my hand, clouds peeing on perfection, mouth morphs to the gutter whore, screaming, running to the shelter, raindrops quit. Bassless stare on the lake, my eyes the crimson bulge burning, step out with no rainbow. Back to the pole and the fish is on. 2-inch bullhead. And the dorsal stings me. Sailor words spoken to the gods. Dancing in the pain dance. Look at the crawlers. Lid opened during the rain. 3 remain. Searing words from the tongue. Get the line wet. Snag, snap, swear. Ruffle the thinning hair. 2 worms. Last hook tied. Kerplunk in the water, sit on the rock, palm sinks in goose poop. Pole tip hips, drag quick flies, set monster, bicep curls, twists and the pulls, gears and the lulls, countdown to the landing, 5 feet, 4, 3, line snapped, she's gone. Turn with my head down, toss ugly stick in rage, slippery stones backward fall, the splash down, sink, sink, sink. Phone alarm blasts. It is 4 a.m. Fishing is in 2 hours. Petrified. End poem.
Good times. Good times fishing. Yeah. Yeah, it's going to spool you, monster. This is good. This is really good. I'm a fisherman myself. It's been a while, but Yeah, biceps curl, twisted pulls, doing the balls. Excellent. Lady, what do you think?
Well, the theatrics were priceless, I have to say. And it was most enjoyable to listen to you to read that aloud. And I just have to ask, though, about the geese, because I know, what kind of geese were they?
Of course they were Canadian geese. What do you
expect?
Yes. So I got a kick out of that. They have a very, very, very bad rap, that's for sure, Canada geese, or troublemakers down south, and I can't excuse them at all. But this was a fun ride. It was it puts you right there, and you can tell when you read about your fishing excursions how much joy you get out of it, and that's the most fun of all.
Oh, I appreciate that. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, those geese can make an oil slick out of a pasture in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
AP, what do you think?
Oh, I'm going to disappear after this comment, but I just want to say a great read, great image. And I just like the sense of the getting inside your head when you know, you're there and you can see the bloody fish and you're just about to get it and, Christ, you miss it. And it there is nothing worse, but it's what brings you back every time. And I just thought it just set the scene of the eternal fisherman, really, and why people.
I don't suppose you get any Canadian geese that far south, do you, AP?
No. The Canadian give us a wide berth, Hatter.
Okay.
You know,
we
get all sorts of other geese. You know, we get Chinese geese and Japanese geese and Russian geese, but we don't get any Canadian geese. So
Canadian.
Probably scared off. Yeah. So.
Okay.
But with that, I'm going to depart. Geese left, Hatter. So thank you to everybody. Thanks again, Jay. And we'll catch you next show.
Yep. We'll see you tomorrow.
Good night.
Okay. Terrific. Okay. Thanks, everybody. See you later.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
All right. And there was two.
Awesome.
So we got the Lady A and Geese A.
Deb wants to come.
Oh, yeah, please.
Yeah. No, it's been a while since I got to hear Jay read, and I have to say, I like that accent you spun this with, Jay. It came out like the down-home feel was added to it by the accent that you used to read it, and the alliterations in there, and the humor, and the sink. But I love that the last word you ended with was petrified. So, like, this is really a cool share. Aside from that, I'm really glad you called. And happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Oh, I appreciate it. Thank you.
A little Carolina flavor in it. And very good.
Yeah.
I lived in the Georgia, Carolina area for over 20 years. So, yeah, I know it.
Sounds to me like what he did was pulled out what he's trying to hide now and then. Because, like, your accent isn't evident most of the time, Jay. I don't know if it's because you've been away or because you try not to. But either way, it was really out of the
dimension. Yeah.
Thank you.
All right, so to click on Budos, and I believe it's a song, and then after that you can just talk until you're ready to hang up the phone. So let's click in, and let me summon Budo. And here we go.
Together, hand in hand, just you and I. Heads up in the clouds, eyes on orange neon sky. Spending my last time in this realm of fantasy. A touch so soft yet so sublime, you become my reality. You and me, just we. Watching the sunset die, to burnish the deep blue sea. The dark fields entice the sky, you and me, just we. Watching the sunset die,
We'll take the journey round and burn the house on down. Just you and me. Just you and me. Twilight beckons our reality. The bathing nocturnal breath. We both close our eyes to see the truth to cheating death. You and me, just we. Watching the sunset die, to burnish the deep blue sea. The dark fields entice the sky. You and me, just we. Watching the sunset die. We'll take the journey round and burn the hearts of now. Just you and me. Just you and me. And when the sun rises up, your body sways in my shadow. You sigh and said it, thank you, love. That will last till end of time. You and me, just we. Watching the sunset sparkle down the clear blue sea and chase the dark from the sky. You and me, just we, watching the sunrise dream. We'll take the journey around and burn the eyes on bound. Just you and me. Just you and me. Just you and me. Just you and me.
Wow, that was nice. So we got lost there for a second. Lady A, you want to comment?
Yeah, it was just a really beautiful piece, and he's so genuine in his music, and you know, it's very moving and emotional when I listen to his singing in the words, and especially a song like that. It's just really, really tender and special.
Yeah, Blues tends to grow on you too. The more and more I hear him, the more,
yeah.
More I get him. I get him. Yeah. AP, JC. Yeah.
There's nothing like a good Budo song to help us relax and enjoy what he brings together. He does, you know, bring out to some amazing words, and I do really love how he packages them all together. For people who don't know, he does his own background vocals. He does all the instrumentals for it too. He does everything for these songs. And he does it in such a professional and amazing way. So I think this one, once again, was something that it is
Absolutely brilliant. I love what Mocha said on the board. It's like the end credits of a 90s movie, and she's the main character. That's great.
This would have been a good one with a little harmonica break in it.
Yeah, he's the talented guy for sure. I've talked to him before, and he's talked to me about how important music is to him. You know, like it's such a wonderful way of expressing your feelings, and of course, the writing itself, the poetry combined with his music, it just makes it a really important experience, and a special experience for him to play and sing, and for us to listen to it.
Yeah, how'd you say it? A little more Pettyisms or Dylanish? You know, a little Petty, Tom Petty. That's what I hear in his voice. It was a little early Tom Petty and some Bob Dylan. That's got that desert flavor to it.
Yeah. Like Hatterisms, you mean? That's what you're talking about.
I don't know what that means.
I like that. Hatterisms.
Thank you. Well, Deborah, what did you think?
Oh, I'm a fan. I've said it before. I'm really jealous of the fact that he can write amazing poems, make them lyrics, turn around and sing them to the instrument that he's playing himself. And it's always impressive, and it always touches everyone on a different level, not to mention the fact that he has a tendency to, like, one person will say, oh, well, he reminds me of Bob Dylan, or, oh, well, he reminds me of this one or that one. And that's pretty high praise, since a lot of times what they're throwing out is well-known icons when they compare him.
You know.
Yeah, it's an amazing thing.
Yeah, I wrote a piece quite a while ago now. It was, I can't remember what the prompt was, but I tried to emulate Bob Dylan and didn't mention it at all, but somebody caught it. They wrote a nice, that was one of the most meaningful comments I ever got for anything I wrote, was that it sounded very, very Dylan. But it was just, I think it was just one. But I was happy with that.
Let's tell everyone that tomorrow night at 10 p.m., I think I might have to double check. I think we went back to the 11 on that. I believe that's leftover from yesterday. So I apologize if it's going to be 10 or 11, but tomorrow is the Man Cave with Stephen and Hatter, and they're going to make us giggle with some chat about Porky's.
So,
I thought
the movie's
Porky. And
yeah.
Can we not rating from PG-13 to R, Hatter? Because, just curious.
Yeah.
Yes?
I think you should. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I'll do that. And then on Saturday, I can't wait. I'm loving this topic this week, Hatter. But Saturday, Hatter Day with me, Hatter, and AP, we are doing Karma. And that's at 11 p.m. And then on Monday at 10 Eastern is my personal prompt Monday, and we are jumping out of crayons and into textures, and there's a fall challenge there. You pick your photo and a quote or whatever and combine them all into one amazing poem, and you come and dazzle me. And on that note, Hatter, I would like to give the mic back to JCA for a moment.
Absolutely.
Go ahead, yes.
Everybody, this Sunday, 6 p.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. in the UK, and 3 p.m. Pacific, it is the world premiere of Regal Radio. Il Nostro Regno Poetry Group is presenting an Open Poetry Sunday, and we are kicking off our own little channel, so anybody who wants to write something, we're there for you.
We're kind of excited about the new venture. We're going to have new unique segments in, put into each show. So it's something definitely to check out. We're hoping to give you guys a brand new blog talk, all poetry experience.
So
very much
finding
to
you. Oh, go ahead, Deb.
I'm sorry, Hunter. I was just very much looking forward to it. I'm extremely happy for you guys. And I've always, you know, thought you did a great job hosting Jay, so no doubt you'll continue to be really good at it.
You think I'm doing good? You wait till Mocha joins me. We are going to tear it up.
Something to look forward to. Again, really happy for you. And Hatter, I'm sorry, go ahead and say what you were going to say.
Oh, I was just going to okay, remind anybody that how to find you. In the groups at All Poetry, what's the name of the group that we look for?
Okay. Il Nostro Regno, spelled I-L space N-O-S-T-R-O space R-E-G-N-O.
Cool. And same name in Blog Talk?
Same name in Blog Talk.
Okay, cool. Great. Hey, well, I'll take this back to you. Thank everybody for calling. JC, thanks for calling in. I'll do my best. Sweet P, thank you for the poem. I loved it. Steven, thanks for calling in. Sweet. Sky. Wayne, thank you for recording. That was great. And for showing up. Lady A, Queen of Canada, thank you for coming down. Keep taking these home with you. And let's see, you got Ludo, thanks for playing. You shared a song with you. And I'm probably missing somebody. But Deborah, always a pleasure spending Thanksgiving with you. Thank you.
You too, Hatter. And if you look on the chat wall, I listed everybody, so in case you missed anybody, you could see it there.
Now, Deborah and I, we're going to be here Christmas Eve too, right?
I don't know. Let me see. Wait, I'm looking at the calendar. Christmas Eve is a Friday. No, Christmas is Saturday. You have back to back. You have Friday the 24th is Christmas Eve, and Friday the 31st is New Year's Eve. So there's all kinds of fun stuff coming up. But on a side note, on Wednesday, December 1st, we will be featuring some of the poems from the Winter Park Paintout. So we have that coming up as well. And Hatter, shout out a hello to Miss Bella on the
I see
there.
Her. Hi,
yeah.
Bella.
And all right, so like, can we blow this pop stand now? I want to.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And did you thank the Queen of Canada? Because I think she is still here.
Thank you very much. I'll get a message to the geese as soon as possible, but I don't really count on anything happening.
No more poop, okay? Especially on rocks.
Watch, we'll have to take care of them.
Absolutely. All right. Well, on that note, it was a fun show, Hatter. Thank you. And I want to say thank you to Sky and Sweet and Steven and Wayne and AP and Lady A and Naomi and JCA. And I want to thank Ludo for the song. And I want to thank Mocha for hanging out on the chat wall. Love and respect to you all. You're very appreciated. And we will see you tomorrow at the Man Cave. Back to you,
Hatter. Thank you, AP. Thank you, AP. That's who I forgot, AP. Thanks,
good night, everyone.
Yeah, good night.
Good night, everyone. Love and respect.
Da, 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 da.
Thank you for reading John Papu.
Thank you.